Welcome to Energy Law Roundup, your comprehensive weekly briefing on legal news and developments in the energy industry from Texas and across the country, always in 30 minutes or less. And now, your host for Energy Law Roundup, business litigator and oil and gas trial lawyer, Tom Charlone.
It is the week of October 15th, 2018. Again, my name is Tom Charlone. I'm a litigation partner in the Houston office of Cain Russell, Coleman, and Logan, where I serve as the head of our firm's energy practice group. The Texas Supreme Court and our courts of appeals have now been struggling for years with the elusive distinction between fixed and floating royalties. In application, the difference between the two can have drastic and, depending on your position in a mineral title dispute, potentially catastrophic consequences. The case law has by no means been a model of clarity or consistency, and few hard and fast rules have emerged at the appellate level to give practitioners any legitimate comfort when drafting or interpreting conveyances. At a purely definitional level, it is easy to differentiate between these two types of royalties. A fixed royalty is set in stone for all posterity. It is an unchanging fraction of total production. A floating royalty, by contrast, is dynamic. It is a fraction of the royalty under the active mineral lease. So, when the lease royalty increases, so does the floating royalty. Not so with the fixed royalty. It is what it is, regardless of the terms of whatever lease happens to be in effect at the time. Sounds simple, right? In theory, yes. In practice, not so much. The Texas Supreme Court's recent decision in U.S. Shale Energy 2 LLC v. Laborde Properties LP represents the latest chapter in this ongoing jurisprudential saga. In U.S. Shale, the grantors had reserved to themselves an NPRI, a non-participating royalty interest, defined as follows. There is reserved and accepted from this conveyance unto the grantors herein, their heirs and assigns, an undivided one-half interest in and to the oil royalty, gas royalty, and royalty in other minerals in and under, or that may be produced or mined from the above-described premises, the same being equal to 1/16 of the production. This reservation is what is generally termed a non-participating royalty reservation. The operator, under a lease with a 1/5 royalty, credited the successors to the reserving parties with 1/2 of the 1/5 lease royalty, in other words, 1/10 of total production. But the successor to the grantee cried foul, arguing that the reservation expressly limited the NPRI to 1/16 of total production. The Texas Supreme Court sided with the operator's interpretation. Notably, nothing in the record indicated that a mineral lease was in effect at the time of the NPRI's reservation. The majority accounted for this omission with the often repeated refrain that, for a decades-long period in the history of our state, it was widely assumed that the royalty in mineral leases could only be, and would always be, 1/8. Finally, punctuation also matters, or at least so it would seem. In particular, a comma can apparently make all the difference in the world. On this score, according to the majority opinion, because, quote, the same being equal to 1/16, end quote, was set off by a comma, it constituted a, quote, non-restrictive dependent clause. In other words, wrote Justice Lerman for the court, the phrase could be, quote, taken out of the sentence without changing its essential meaning. Shifting gears, let's talk about when an offset well is not an offset well. Oil and gas leases, as we all know, often include an offset drilling clause. Such clauses stipulate that if a well is drilled on a neighboring tract in proximity to the leasehold, the lessee generally has three options. Drill an offset well to prevent drainage, release acreage so the lessor can independently drill an offset well to prevent drainage, or pay the mineral owner the same royalties it would have received if the off-lease well had been spudded on the lease. Earlier this year, in Murphy Exploration and Production Company USA versus Adams, a deeply divided Texas Supreme Court departed from the venerable plain language rule of contract construction when it determined that a lease requiring the operator to drill an offset well did not require the operator to drill a well designed to protect against drainage. Rather, according to the 5-4 majority opinion, the operator was required only to drill a well to the contractual depth set forth in the lease anywhere on the leased tract. The disputed language from the lease is as follows. It is hereby specifically agreed and stipulated that in the event a well is completed as a producer of oil and or gas on land adjacent and contiguous to the leased premises and within 467 feet of the premises covered by this lease, that lessee herein is hereby obligated to, within 120 days after the completion date of the well or wells on the adjacent acreage, commence drilling operations on the leased acreage and thereafter continue the drilling of such offset well or wells with due diligence. Since this provision does not oblige the operator to drill an offset well in a particular location or at a specific distance from the lease boundary, and because it makes no express reference to combating drainage, the majority determined that any well drilled to depth on the leasehold would satisfy the offset drilling clause. In this way, the court effectively disregarded that the phrase offset well is a term of art that, for generations, has had a specific and accepted meaning within the oil and gas industry. Justice Lerman, writing for the majority, explained that surrounding circumstances nevertheless compelled the conclusion that an offset well need not necessarily protect against drainage. In particular, the court observed that the subject lease was executed in 2009, when the parties contemplated unconventional production in tight shale formations, and in this regard, commentators have recognized that little or no drainage will occur between adjacent tracts in the specific context of a shale play. Although the Texas Supreme Court apparently limited its holding to horizontal drilling operations, lessees in all environments would be wise to approach existing offset drilling obligations with an eye toward this decision and the case law that will inevitably develop around it. Additionally, when wordsmithing offset drilling provisions going forward, drafters shouldn't assume that Texas courts will imbue the term offset well with any specific or special meaning. To avoid ambiguity and the often brutal law of unintended consequences, drafters should either specifically define offset well or, alternatively, explicitly recite, first, where an offset well must be drilled, and second, what function the well is designed to serve. Of course, depending on the specific definitions that the mineral owner champions, it may sometimes inure to the operator's advantage to retain a degree of ambiguity, which may in turn afford greater operational flexibility.
Thank you for listening to Energy Law Roundup. If you would like additional information about anything from today's episode, you can contact Tom at 210-446-6999 or by email at tom@charlone.net. New episodes of this podcast are available every week on the web at www.energylawroundup.com, your one-stop source for breaking news and developments in energy law.